And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Behold the Comforter. I was going through my computer this morning, and I get these daily verses, and I said, oh, that's a good one. I should start out with this one. From Proverbs 31, we read, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Today we celebrate Mother's Day and remember Christ's own Mother Mary, who we also celebrate for her virtues of faith, love, and devotion. She is the standard bearer that all mothers should follow. Although Mother's Day is a secular holiday, initiated in 1908 by Anna Jarvis of Grafton, West Virginia, it is largely celebrated in our churches, and rightfully so. We should celebrate our mothers who brought us into the world, close-to-death experience, and in many ways are the backbones of our families. Today is the day that mothers get the credit they deserve for their unselfish contributions to their household. And I cannot imagine what the world would be like without God-fearing mothers who raised their children in the admonition of the Lord. I remember growing up when it was traditional for men to wear boutonnieres and women wore corsages. If your mother was living, one would wear red, representing the blood of life. But if she were deceased, one would wear white, symbolizing heaven or purity. We often view a white dove, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and we see this on many religious items, such as clergy attire or in religious art. Another name for the Holy Spirit is Comforter, and that, by the way, is the topic of today's homily. As I meditated on this message for today, I became aware of the parallel in Scripture of the importance of our mothers in relation to the Holy Spirit. Both the Holy Spirit and our mothers have many things in common, and I'm going to name a few. For instance, we all look upon our mothers as ones who comfort us when we're injured. We expect our mothers will soothe all our pains. The same can be said of the Holy Spirit. Although he may not be able to soothe our physical wounds, he can help us with our spiritual and emotional pains or injuries through prayer and intercessions. Jesus tells us that we can look upon the Holy Spirit as our comforter, but the Holy Spirit has many more duties than just bringing us comfort, much like our mothers. For instance, as children, we rely on them for instruction and nurturing. We do this because we trust ourselves to their care and have a confidence that they can be relied on not to harm us. The same can be said of the Holy Spirit. It is said that there is nothing that can come between the love of a mother for her child. No question this applies to the Holy Spirit as well. As we learned last week, when the Holy Spirit becomes a part of us, he dwells in us, and as a consequence, our bodies become the temple of God. It is God's love that gave us his only Son, who sacrificed himself on Calvary's cross, that we may be saved and reconciled unto God the Father. There is no greater love than this, that God became incarnate man and would lay down his life for his beloved. A mother's love for her child rivals this kind of love which God has for mankind. In light of this correlation between all mothers and the Holy Spirit and the faith, love, and devotion which they share, today's passage is both brief and powerful. We witness once again Jesus reminding his disciples that a comforter will arrive who will complete God's grand design for salvation. However, this message does not arrive without a warning. In St. John, we read, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I did tell you. This is the portion of the day's message which is prophetic. It is referred to in many other places in Scripture, especially the books of Daniel and Revelation. However, this day will occur when religion, and especially Christianity, will have evolved to a point where it becomes meaningless and has no relationship with God. Here the Scripture tells us it is not a question of if it will happen, but when it will happen. The news of today tells us there is sufficient evidence that we are on this threshold or will be in the future. Surely as we move forward, that day draws nearer, and this cannot be dismissed unless you're an antagonist or unbeliever. And I believe there are many unbelievers today than there are believers. But when Christianity becomes melded into a universal religion, it will become completely secular, but it will reflect the symbols, the symbolic remnants of God the Creator. This is when the whole world will turn against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And at this time, the end of the world as we know it will not be far away, even though it could still be 1,000 years from now. For no one knows the day or the hour. And when I began this message, it was not my intention to give a homily on prophecy. Indeed, I would prefer to speak on that another time, because this is a day of celebration. Yet to complete this scripture in John 16, Christ must go to be with his Father so that the Holy Spirit may arrive to be on earth to complete God's grand design. This is critically important for us because Christ continues to say, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." Here the Holy Spirit adds to his name, Helper, to go along with Comforter. The name Helper can easily be attributed to our mothers. As we begin to develop, they help us to walk and to talk. They feed us, they dress us, and they teach us personal hygiene. Think how important these things are and how restricted our lives would be without this instruction or helping hand. Finally, the Holy Spirit, the Helper and Comforter, is now also the truth and the judge. We certainly expect our mothers to be truthful with us. As we read in John 16, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I can go to be with my Father, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The world cannot make righteous judgment, but the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, can make righteous judgment. Satan, the ruler of this world, has perverted the world's judgment and turned people against God through his Son, Jesus Christ, through God's Son, Jesus Christ. We all bear witness to the removing of many references to God in the public domain. Yet all this is done in the name of religious tolerance. While Christ's death initially looked like Satan's greatest victory, in the end, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it will lead to God's greatest triumph. There is another correlation of the Holy Spirit and our mothers. The Scripture reminds us that the truth will always be arrived at by our mothers. We cannot lie to them and think we can get away with it. I know everyone here has tried. I suspect it's because they know us far too well. Mothers, like the Holy Spirit, teach us right from wrong. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of right and wrong when He convicts us. Our mothers, too, are known to exact punishment when it becomes necessary. As in my daughter's generation, for instance, she counts to 10 or sends my grandchildren to their room for time out. I'm not sure how effective this punishment is because in my generation, my mother believed the old-fashioned way was more effective. A proper spanking would do. She applied the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. In my day, punishment was very effective in righting a wrong. My brothers and I learned very early that we better live an honest life, for if we did not, judgment was soon and effective. It took only a few spankings for us to finally learn to pay attention. And I know the world would like us to believe that punishment is evil, but letting us go without punishment is the greater wrong. When we are corrected, we realize it is for our better good because we are so loved. God has corrected men often, but in the end, we all know how much He loves and cares for us like our mothers. In conclusion, our mothers share many of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. She is our helper. She is our judge. She is our truth. And she is our comforter. I have always considered my mother a saint. Thank goodness for mothers who share the same qualities of the Holy Spirit. Thus saith the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.